Thank you to take your scriptures this morning and turn, if you will, to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 1. You know, it's a great privilege to be called into God's service, to serve Him, to do something for Him. And by the way, every one of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ have been called to do something for the Lord. Every one of us. This is not an entitlement kind of Christianity where we sit and we are entitled to things. God's never called you to do that, nor for me to do that. He has called every one of us to be in the service for the Lord Jesus Christ and to do something. To sit and to do nothing is sinful and disobedient. And this is one of the things that God does. He uses a variety of people. And there's no greater honor on this entire planet, of all the things that we can do. We all have our secular lives and we all have our home lives and everything. But the greatest privilege of all is that we serve the Lord Jesus Christ in every aspect. When we go to work, at our home, and everything, and with, even within His assembly. For some, the tasks that God may have for us may seem to be small. We may not understand all the impact that it's going to take place and the services that He wants us to do, but it still has tremendous impact. I'll give you an example of this. There was a man that was born blind. You can read about him in John chapter 9. I'm not going to take you there for the sake of time. He had no idea that he was set apart, just being physically blind, set apart to glorify the Lord. In fact, the whole community, when they actually looked at him, they were blaming his parents' sin life or whatever. They said, your parents must have sinned for something in their past life that's caused you to be blind. And so his parents and his family, as well as this man, went through rebuke within that community until Jesus showed up. And this man was born blind for a purpose, so that God's name would be glorified. And they can see the power of God and the Lord Jesus Christ could be held up before the people and they can see the Savior. That man had no idea. But later on, I'll tell you what, he must have gone around telling for every rooftop and every house and every place that he went, magnifying the Lord because of what Jesus Christ has done. And it has been engraven in our books right here. We can read about it. I think of Dorcas. Dorcas, you can read about her in Acts chapter 9. You don't have to go there, but she was a woman who did good works. Whoever thought that making quilts and visiting the people that she just visited within her little community, serving the Lord in every small way that she did, would be heralded throughout the centuries? And it was, though, because God used this woman in small things that she did. All she did was, use her life, use me, Lord, I want to serve you. She had no idea those small tasks, seemingly insignificant tasks, were monumental in the lives of the individuals. I think of a small lad that showed up on the seashore. He wanted to hear the Savior preaching. His mom probably packed the lunch that he had. It wasn't much, but he selflessly offered his lunch, thinking, well, what could this do? But he offered it. He says, here, you can have my fish and loaves of bread. And they weren't much. And he offered that very little bit. He had no idea that the Lord was going to turn that around and feed 5,000 people. It's just willing people to serve the Lord and to use what they have. And it's amazing how God can change and take what we offer Him and use in huge ways. Sometimes then we look back and we see the kid who offered the lunch. And we look back and we think of Dorcas and we put Dorcas up and on a higher plateau. And we say, oh, look what all she did. And then we look back and the blind man or other things and we say, wow, they had not a clue. Well, you know, we're going to be visiting Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was such a person. She was a common person like you and I. A sinner saved by grace. She was born in a poor Jewish home in a city that was regarded in the Jewish community in that time as a slum. Just the poor section, the wrong side of the tracks that would be there. And yet she was chosen by God to carry out an extremely, a very difficult service for her. And I don't think she understood the full impact as it had to kind of unveil and unfold before her. You know, we don't know a lot about Mary. There's actually more in Scripture about many other people than we have about Mary. But we do know one thing. She was a very devout woman. The reason why I say that is Luke chapter 1, where I had you turn to. You can see her devoutness here in verse 46. Luke chapter 1, verse 46. It says, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." I want you to really identify what she just said. She needed a Savior. She is not a Savior. She needed a Savior. She was a woman who was saved by the blood. She birthed the child Jesus, but it was Him, the Son of God, who came and was her Savior. Just like we need a Savior as well. But she also goes on in this whole thing in verse 48. It says, "For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall be called me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." What she's talking about is that promise that I read in the opening of the service in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, was the hope of all women. That one day that a woman would be able to bring forth the deliverer that would deliver mankind from the curse of the sin. And she was chosen to be that one to bring forth the deliverer. And as a result of this, you know, she has a special place, but she was a servant, no different than you and I. She could have said yes, which she did, praise God she did. She could have said no. But she says, "I'm willing to be used by you in any way." It wasn't an easy thing for her to do that. And then as we read through this passage, this is called the Magnificat. She uses 15 passages from the Old Testament that she quotes. This tells me that Mary was a devout woman. I want to put Mary and I'm going to transport her into our modern day context. She would have been a woman. She's probably 15, by the way. That's what we assess about the time that this all took place. She's a 15-year-old girl, so older than some of you ladies that are here. But she was pure. In the modern context, then we would say she doesn't go out and party. She didn't go out and drink. She didn't go out and drug. She was a woman who was modest in everything that she did. She was a woman who was faithful in her love for the Lord, and everybody knew it in the community. Her language, her conduct, and she lived as godly as she could, a devout woman. And she kept herself pure, kept herself set apart unto God. She guarded what she heard. She guarded what she saw. That's the kind of woman that she was, if I were to transport her into the 21st century here. She's also called something else here in Luke chapter 1, verse 28. It says this, "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." Again, because of that promise that all women were hoping that one day they might be used of God in this unique way to bring forth the deliverer. And yet she says, "No, you are highly favored." There's a passage in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 6. It is the identical term that the angel is talking about Mary being highly favored is the identical Greek term that is used about every one of you who has placed your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "Wherein he," talking about Jesus, "hath made us accepted." And that word accepted means that Jesus made us highly favored because of what Jesus did for us. He favored us in the beloved. And he favored Mary, and he was going to use her in a very unique task. So she's a believer, just like us, in need of a Savior. trusted the Lord in her youth, and she learned of him and was willing to submit to the Lord in any task, whatever he wanted. She was being used as a humble servant of the Lord. Now, that's not always easy. There's five things that I can see about Mary's life, and I'm sure there's so much more. I had 5 pages, single spaced notes that I couldn't deliver in the time about Mary here in the time that I have. But I kind of synthesized it down to a few things here. One of the things I noticed about Mary, and this happens about every one of you who is going to be willing to be serving God and to do something. If you're willing to be used by God, there will be a point in your life where you're going to be misunderstood. And some of you already know what I'm talking about. If you are a believer and you have chosen to follow the Lord, you are already misunderstood. Maybe by family members, maybe you are misunderstood by your friends or whatever else, and you may be misunderstood by the community around. Well, Mary was a woman who was misunderstood. I'll tell you what, the very moment she said yes, and then the Holy Spirit came over her, and then she was conceived with a child, you know, her fiancé misunderstood it. That's an understandable thing. But, you know, she realized that reproach would have come real quick. And Joseph, at that first point, he wanted to put her away, divorce her. Oh, she was unfaithful. And so here's a woman. Now, think about it. Is a young woman who has chosen to be pure, who her whole life has been set apart unto God. And she said, I just want to serve God. I want to do what's right. And now the very first thing after she received, I'm going to follow God. This stain in the community and stain on her life, at least from the eyes of the world, stuck with her. A woman with an illegitimate child. She was scorned. It's like this black cloud of misunderstanding covered her and carried through almost all the days of her life. Would you have said yes to God knowing that? And yet she was willing to follow God. She was misunderstood. I think of a man by the name of William Carey. He was a missionary in England. And when he decided to go, he says, I'm going to go out to missions. Now, in those days, people weren't going overseas into missions. He was one of the first that was going out into missions. And his family didn't understand it. They said, can't you take a church here in the area? That was his family just went ballistic that was there. And then the churches in the area says, what are you thinking? Missions to go off and to do this kind of thing? So even the clergy misunderstood him. You know, there's times when you know God's asking you to do something, you're going to be misunderstood. Mary was misunderstood. By the way, she's misunderstood today. Just think about the things, the way she's misunderstood. You know, some think that she was sinless. That's out of the pit of hell, that thought. That's not true. She was a sinner like us, saved by grace. Others say that this favor, she was not just the mother of Jesus, which she is the mother of Jesus, but some say she's the mother of God. That's blasphemous. She would have cringed. Others say she's the queen of heaven. That's blasphemous also, making the fourth part, it's no longer a trinity anymore. They put her in the triunity of God, and what do you make it when you make it four? That's blasphemous. She would have cringed to ever been perceived like that. She was a woman who was a sinner saved by grace, who was blessed to bring forth the deliverer and to be honored as a faithful servant should. Faithful servants are often misunderstood. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. I think another thing we can find about Mary is she was marked. And I dare say if you're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be marked. Let's look at Mary's mark here. Because after she said yes and then she bore the deliverer, we find here in verse 13, it says that when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Not only was her son hated because he was the deliverer, but, you know, they would have not just probably killed Jesus that they got a hold of him. They would have killed Joseph and Mary. They were marked. Not only did they go from there, I want you to drop down verse 16. It says, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Cruel, thoughtless acts that were taking place. Later on, when they come, they had to flee to Egypt, and they had to live in Egypt for a time. And then they left Egypt, and they came back. When they came back, they wanted to go to Jerusalem again. And when they found out that Archelaus was there ruling and reigning, the angel restrained them because there was still a mark on their life. And so they had to go up, and they went to Nazareth again. If you're a believer, how many here are believers? You place your trust in the Lord. Did you know there's a mark on your life? Let me tell you one of the marks. You go out in the community and they know you're a believer and then lie. And they're going to say, oh, you shouldn't do that. Now, the world does that all the time. But I'll tell you, you're marked because the world knows what you ought to be doing. And when you're not doing it, it's like a mark wherever you go. They know you're a believer. Oh, believers don't do that. You get angry. Oh, believers don't do that. You're out there smoking and drinking. Oh, believers don't do that. The world knows what you ought to be doing more than Christians know. Ever notice that? Do you realize that's the mark of God? I'm glad he put that there. I don't call it a mark, I call it a badge. I'm his child. He's actually sealed you with the Holy Spirit. He's given you unique promises that are there. But believers can be misunderstood, as Mary was. Believers are marked, and we are marked by God, and we're his. We're his children set apart unto him. You may not know how much you influence the world. In fact, I know you don't know what your influence is. I have no idea the impact that a life is making. We don't know. Some of us will never know until we get to heaven. I want you to go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. There's a lot of things that Mary didn't understand, and she mused the things as she would think through these events that were taking place. I mean, she understood an angel appeared. I think she understood that she birthed the deliverer. She didn't understand probably all the things that were going into it, but then she goes after Jesus was born, and they go into the temple, and we find this beginning in verse 34. It says, and Simeon bless them. And here's this old man that comes, and he's a prophet, you know, in the temple there. And he holds up Jesus, and he's so excited to see Jesus. And then Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. In other words, she is going to also experience grief beyond anything that she can measure. It's like a knife or a sword going through her soul. That the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And so she didn't understand all the things that were going on. She didn't understand the impact that was going to take place. I think she could have mused and could have thought, but you know, a lot of times, try to muse what's going to happen next week. Try to think 6 months down the road how this decision is going to impact and how it's all going to unfold. You don't understand how your life can impact so much. And I think Mary understood some, but not all the things, the impact that was going to take place. Drop down to verse 46 here, chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 46. Says, and it came to pass that after 3 days they found him, that's Jesus, in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. She's amazed. What's he doing? How does he answer these questions? I mean, here, even though she had a little inkling that was going, she didn't understand all that was going. She mused the amazing things that God was doing just by using her as a vessel to bring the deliverer into the world. I dare say you don't understand all the things that your service, when you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, it will impact many. You can muse and think all you want, but you know what? I sometimes think the extent, we don't understand how important it is when we serve him. How many people will end up in heaven because of our influence and the words that we use as being vessels used by the Savior? How many people are not impacted when we refuse to use those gifts? When we use the generosity, sometimes you have no idea. It's amazing. There's people, and I wish I could videotape it. It just happened. People walk into Calvary who were part of, in those days we had Awanas that was downstairs. And they got saved in Awanas. And some of those workers that were in Awanas there, they said, I got saved. And here are my two kids. And, you know, we go to another church someplace else. I got saved when I was down there. We have no idea the impact. And I can remember, I still see you guys as you go through like the King's kids and you say, oh, I'm just weary. I almost didn't show up. I mean, these kids are killing me. And yet you have no idea the impact. Not only a mom and a dad and kids and everything. Years later, when we get to heaven, how much more will we find out because we just gave of our service and use the skills and the talents that we have? I recognize our government is going to an entitlement society. You understand what an entitlement is. Everybody feels that they're on the payroll. They don't give anything. They just receive everything. And less than 50% now, from if I got my stats right, and you can correct me later on, whatever, somewhere around there, are paying in, and the rest are on the dole. They just sit back and wait, and they expect it to come. They expect it to come. It's called socialism. They expect it to come. That mentality has impacted churches across the nation. And people come to their local assemblies across the country, and they sit, and they receive. And they receive. And they receive. They come every Sunday. They sit in the pews, and they receive. Next Sunday, they come, and they receive. And then they say, well, maybe I won't show up. And then they receive again. Where's the giving? Where's the using of being used by God in a powerful way? All they do is sit and receive and do nothing. Sit and receive and do nothing. God never set in a retirement age. God never said at 65 you retire. I don't find that in Scripture anyways. You retire when he retires you into heaven. That's when you retire. God never set a limit. Oh, I don't know enough. I've been saved 7 years. I'm not serving because I don't know enough. God never said that. You start serving the day you get saved. Because you've been delivered by the mighty hand of God. If you're not serving God, then you need to really ask yourself some serious, serious questions. So we find that she didn't understand. She just mused and wondered in amazement at the things that were going on around her life. And I think this happens with believers. We don't understand the impact that we can have in the lives of other people. I think there's another thing we can find, that she was moved. Sometimes serving the Lord can be extremely painful. And I want you to turn to John chapter 19, the Gospel of John chapter 19, verse 25. She had no idea that the gift that she was able to be used by God, and the gift of her life, and it cost everything in her life, her reputation to do this. It cost time to do this because it was the effort of raising not only her child, Jesus, but also the other sons that were born. She had four other sons that were born to her. And she was ministering in this way before the Lord. She had no idea the exact pain that would be taking place when her son died. John chapter 19, verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister and Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there at the cross watching her son die on the cross. There's other passages that tell us that she actually was with Jesus at times where he was doing these miracles. Remember the first one, the wedding at Cana, when he performed that miracle. And there were other times where Jesus was healing the sick and he was preaching. And the people said, oh, your mother and your brothers are there. And Jesus says, who is my mother and my brothers? By the way, Jesus, when he addressed his mother, he didn't call her ever mother. Did you know that? You watch. He called her woman. It was a respectful term. He never, at least recorded here, called her mother. In fact, later on when he was hanging on the cross, he said to John, see, your mother. He was giving over the responsibility of care of Mary to a believer that was there. She was moved. It was very, very painful, but she was there and she was moved. Chapter 24 of Luke, I want you to go there. Luke chapter 24. Just to show you that she didn't understand all that was going on. I think I should read here in verse 9. It says, "He returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of John, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles." In other words, and we think at that point one of the women would have been Mary, the mother of Jesus. They didn't expect Jesus to raise from the grave. She watched her son, her child, die on the cross, not realizing even the full extent that even though she heard, just privileged to hearing all the other things when his disciples heard Jesus talking about it, here we find Mary didn't understand all that was going on either. She was just as amazed as the rest of them. I want you to go now to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Believers can be moved and moved with amazement as God does amazing things. I dare say Mary was just as moved with amazement as the disciples were at the power of God and the things that he did. And then think of how this all unfolded in her mind. You know, her whole life she has been used by, or trying to be used by God, and not understanding all the things that are going on, having excruciating pain, having her heart ripped out when her child was crucified on the cross, not understanding all that was going on. And then as it unfolds and she begins to really understand the full impact of the Messiah, the Son of God, the Eternal One that was living in all of eternity, she had privilege here in his life. She did not understand, but she was just willing to be used by God. Verse 13, Acts chapter 1, verse 13. It says, "And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, and there abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his disciples." Apparently, Mary was there when Jesus ascended into heaven. And then they went for 10 days and they went in and they stayed in the upper room and they fasted and they prayed together. And in amazement, can you imagine discussion now as they were saying, "Now tell us more, you know, of how he grew up and tell us more, you know." And then she's just as blown away as everyone else as it began to unravel the marvels of God's plan of deliverance and the forgiveness of sins through the true deliverer, the one who is going to give them the forgiveness of sins, Jesus. I dare say that we don't understand sometimes what God wants to do in our lives. If you're going to be willing to be used by God, you're going to be misunderstood. There are going to be a lot of things you're going to make and decisions you're going to make. You just will not be understood by the world. Your parents will understand sometimes. Your family won't understand. The community around is shaking their head. What in the world are you doing? But God has called every one of us who's a believer to serve Him. He delivered you from your sins. He's giving you a new life in Jesus Christ. He wants to be using your life as a vessel like He used Mary. You may not see all the impact you're going to have. But I'll tell you what, He wants to use you. If you're a believer and you're going to live for Him, you're marked. The world knows what you ought to do. We just have to catch up with what we ought to do. If you're a believer, you ought to serve Him. You ought to live pure lives set apart unto Him because you know what? He forgave you your sins. And He wants you to walk with Him. Believers muse and wonder. Because I'll tell you what happens. You're going to find amazing things for how God's used you. Maybe it'll happen in heaven. As you sit there and as the Lord, you're standing before Him and you see the myriads of people that were impacted because you were just simply used. Like Dorcas is there and say, wow, you mean that tapestry did that? And then lastly, you're going to be moved. You're going to be moved with pain sometimes, but other times you're going to be moved with awe and wonder at the magnificent power of God. We've been called to be used. We've been called to be servants. My question today is, are you a servant? Are you being used? Have you given your life? You gave your life to Christ. Now you're saying you're giving your life to Lord. How can I be used and serve You in any way? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, again, we are thankful for just the life of Mary, a willing servant, a woman who is willing to be used by You in a powerful way. Just like every one of us here, if we're saved, Father, we can be used by You. You want to use us. Sometimes it may seem insignificant, and yet it's huge in Your economy. It will make huge impacts, and we have no idea how, but You're orchestrating the events. Help us to be used by You, that You use us as servants. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.